Actor and puppeteer Vít Hořeš was born in Czechoslovakia but spent most of his life in the United States, where he emigrated in his late 20s. He worked for the legendary Blacklight Theatre before establishing his own Czechoslovak-American Marionette Theatre. The group, featuring puppets and live actors, performs contemporary pieces as well as plays based on traditional Czech fairy tales. When I caught up with Mr. Hořeš during his recent visit to Prague, I first asked him what made him leave his country exactly 40 years ago.
The air was just not right. I was at a theater as an actor. I had my salary and everything, but we had to do whatever the party said, and we had to do Soviet plays, and I decided to leave 6 years before that, and I just was waiting for an opportunity. I didn't have the nerve or the stomach to be a dissident, but I couldn't watch what was happening to the arts. I couldn't do what I was ordered to do, and I was really lucky enough that I left before all the signing of anti-charter and all that stuff happened.
Here in Czechoslovakia, you originally studied philosophy and French. So how did you actually get involved in theater and in puppeteering?
I was actually doing theater on the side with Mrs. Steimarová at the Lidová škola umění, the People's School of the Arts, and she arranged for me to have an audition at a theater, small theater in Moravia, and I, right after graduating in French and philosophy, I went into becoming a full-time salaried actor in Moravia.
And puppeteering?
Puppeteering, just, I played with the toy puppet theater as a child, as many Czech children did. It was my mother's toy puppet theater from 1920s. And then I abandoned it, and I thought puppet theater was dead. And just not interesting. But then I saw drag theater from Eastern Bohemia in the 1970s when they performed in Prague, a series of performances that were just a great revelation for me. And I did, with that toy theater, I did one performance of a French lesson in French in the 1970s with my friends. But in the United States, I suddenly found out they didn't know our basic Salt Over Gold or Katja and the Devil or the 12 months. And I started telling them in the United States, and then the puppet, first the devil, and then I acquired two more puppets, a witch and a princess, started helping me with that.
Tell me more about the origin of the Czechoslovak American Marionette Theater. How did that begin?
Well, I had three puppets by that time, and I did storytelling with three marionettes show at Janus Church, or Janhus, on 74th Street, East 74th Street, in what used to be the Czech neighborhood, Czech and Slovak neighborhood, but it was disappearing even then. But I did my storytelling there, and they said, oh, we used to have a puppet theater here, and I kept asking them what happened to the puppets until they let me go to the attic, and there in an old painted chest with Moravian ornaments were these 24 large marionettes and 45 toy marionettes, like the ones I played with as a child, only slightly bigger. And then I was, at that time, I was working with the Da Fantastica Blacklight Theater with Peter Kratochwil. And then when I decided to quit the Blacklight Theater just before real money came in, they just were asking for it. So we actually did Faust, the biggest hit of the traditional itinerant puppeteers, at the church, right in front of the altar.
What do you have on your repertoire today?
Well, we started with the classics like Faust or Don Juan or Genoveva, the White Doe. But I always aimed for doing the mixing of live people with marionettes or puppets, other puppets. And we eventually started doing dance, contemporary dance with marionettes, like our Golem production. And then we did Hamlet, Rusalka, the Little River Maid. We had to add that subtitle because people know Dvořák's Rusalka, but they don't know what it is. And then totally contemporary plays like The Life and Times of Lee Harvey Oswald, or an adaptation of Józef Skorycki's The Bass Saxophone, an adaptation of a Polish war novel, Tadeusz Nowak, my favorite Polish writer, and other plays like that, mixing people, mixing marionettes, and mixing found objects, in whether it's a movement piece or a dance piece or whether they are dialogues.
And what about the American audience? Didn't they feel that marionettes are for children and not for adult audiences?
They do still feel that to this day. They even feel that it's only for children up to the age of 7, and that anybody after that age, children are too cool to watch puppets in general. As a matter of fact, I did a few school tours. I don't do them anymore, but the first tour was 151 performances over 3.5 months from Idaho to New Mexico, and the agent who booked that was apologizing, saying, "I booked you into a few high schools, and I'm really sorry to do that to you." And then high school students are adults, and I really started doing fairy tales for adults, so they loved it eventually. They would be unruly for a few minutes, and then they would get enchanted.
What about the typical Czech fairy tale characters, such as Vodník or Čert the Devil? Do the American kids understand these figures, or do you have to kind of explain who they are?
They do, but talking about the school tour from Idaho to New Mexico, I got in trouble with the devil in the Bible Belt. Second show of the day, the principal was waiting for me on the doorsteps of his school, saying, "I heard you had a devil in your show. Could you do something else? Some parents will complain." On the other hand, I traveled also to a few Indian reservations, which was a very interesting experience. They totally understood Vodník. I have to explain what the water spirit, water goblin, who he is. But at the Indian school, at the Native American school, they totally could relate to a water spirit. As a matter of fact, I had this Hopi girl come after the show, and she said, pointing at the water goblin, "Is that a Kachina?" which is a Hopi little god. They have different little spirits. And I automatically answered no. And as I said that, I realized it is. It's exactly the same thing.
What do you find so fascinating about marionettes and puppet theater? What do you think is the biggest advantage of puppets over live actors?
There's something amazing about how people really feel whatever a puppet does is much stronger. If a puppet dies, people will cry much more than if a live actor dies. So maybe the puppets are better actors. But working with puppets, I can barely imagine doing theater without puppets now, because it gives you, especially when you see the puppeteers, it gives you so many levels of working. You know, Hamlet does his monologue, and monologues are so difficult to do. They're totally unnatural. But if he does it with a puppet, it's a dialogue. It's an inner dialogue. And when there are real dialogues, then there are at least two puppeteers, two puppets, and you have so many levels how they can interact. So the array of the possibilities and of the levels that you can add to a theater performance is amazing.
You came to the Czech Republic now to receive the award given by the Czechoslovak Society for Arts and Sciences for promoting Czech culture abroad. How important is it for you receiving such an award?
It's an honor, and I think it, you know, we have our audience in the United States, but we also struggle and fight for audiences, so I think it will give us more visibility. So together with the Czech and Slovak puppetry being put on the UNESCO list of intangible world heritage treasures, or whatever they call it, 2 years ago, both of those things are good promotional tools. You know, I always talk about Kopetsky, the family, many generations of Kopetsky family, how they really were self-promoting and made themselves a legendary family that's now synonymous with Czech puppetry. But that's it. We are poor puppeteers, just like Kopetsky's were, and we need any promotion we can take, and an award will help.